Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You'll let me know, Max, when we reach Greg Finberg from Bullets Forever. A website that I've paid attention to a lot over the years because I'm a huge fan of the team. They've done a great job covering the team for years, bulletsforever.com. Greg Finberg, who is a writer for bulletsforever.com and has a Wizards podcast scheduled to join us here shortly. We are talking NBA draft. The Wizards made a trade yesterday. They moved on from Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the second round pick that they had for tonight, which was, you know, a fairly early, the 10th overall pick in the second round, number 40 overall. They sent that to New Orleans for CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and the Pelicans' second round pick in 2027. And we have Greg right now. Greg Finberg from Bullets Forever joins us. You can follow Greg on X on Twitter, at Greg, F-I-N-B-E-R-G. He's a Penn State guy. He's got a Wizards podcast called The Wizards Podcast. And as mentioned, he's been a writer at bulletsforever.com. So before we get to the draft, Greg, give me your overall takeaway on yesterday's trade.
Yeah, well, the trade yesterday was a bit shocking. Jordan Poole obviously was a guy that the Wizards rumored to possibly be shopping. I thought they could maybe cover the first, maybe two, but it turns out that they decided to go with the route. So obviously some people are upset that they traded Poole. It's possible that they traded the better player in the deal, but the main takeaway is the fact that they have opened up over $100 million in salary cap in 2026, meaning that, you know, Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, CJ McCollum are making upwards of $97 million this year, but they're all expiring deals. Whereas if you kept Poole and you kept Sadiq Bey, that's another $36 million that you would have had on your cap for the next 2 years. So the Wizards clear cap space, and obviously it's been tough to attract free agents to Washington, but they have the money, and it's clear that next year when they have the top eight protected pick, they're going to want to bottom out. Bottom four record can, you know, solidifies the fact that they're able to keep that pick, and then you move forward to the following year, and it seems like they want to at least try to compete. They'll have cap space. They'll have a bunch of their young guys that are hopefully developed, and at that point they can try to ascend. It seems pretty clear from this trade that they didn't see Jordan Poole as a long-term fit, and I think the old front office would have maybe bought into it. You know, maybe the fact that they could keep Poole, but this front office seems pretty proactive. They saw he probably wouldn't be a fit here. They got off his salary. And I will say, a year ago, you know, with Jordan Poole's first year in D.C., everyone thought he'd have a pretty untradeable contract. And now you look at the Wizards, and they were able to offload that contract without sending additional draft capital to do so. So I think it was a good deal in terms of salary cap relief. They're probably going to be bad again next year, but I can definitely understand the deal.
I mean, I kind of came to the same conclusion. It's like you're going to clear $110 million cap-wise, so maybe you decide that a year from now is the off-season that, A, you'll have another very high pick in what will be, you know, potentially the Cameron Boozer draft, you know, and there are a couple of others in that draft as well. So it will have been sort of four drafts in which you selected fairly high, got a bunch of young players, and maybe you try to spend – for players. But you just said it. This has never been a destination for free agents. And I would also add to that, and tell me if you disagree, we haven't seen the big acquisitions in recent years be free agents as much as we've seen trades that have landed, you know, the big names and the big needle movers in terms of pushing a team over the edge into sort of that championship contender status. So I wonder, even if the plan was to do something like that this time next year, could they do it?
Yeah, you make a good point. You know, D.C. is a big market, but they've operated, especially the last couple of years, as a small market, because it seems like not a lot of people view it as an attractive free agent destination. You know, when you had John Wall and Bradley Beal and they were in their prime and you were contending, the Wizards still, for some reason, couldn't even get a meeting with Kevin Durant. Obviously, LeBron James didn't even look their way. Like, the big-name free agents seemingly haven't really wanted to come to D.C. So, you know, financially, they are set in 2026, and they have that ability. It's just a matter of being able to attract those free agents. And you know, based on the past, I'd say they probably won't be able to. But it is a new regime with the new front office. They're doing things differently. It's a new culture as well in D.C. And it honestly depends on the development of the young guys. I think, as you see in OKC, like, they have Shea, they have J-Dub, they have Chet. They have a bunch of compelling young talent. And even for them in a smaller market, they only signed Hartenstein. Like, that was their big free agent. They traded for Caruso. So sometimes when you're like that, you got to draft, you got to trade. You know, the Utah Jazz, when they were contending the last couple years with Mitchell and Gobert, you know, they traded for Gobert. They drafted Mitchell. They traded for Mike Conley. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, work around the margins. And despite the Wizards having $100 million in cap space, while they might not be able to sign the big-name free agents like a Luka or a Giannis, you know, they can still trade for somebody. They have the cap space now to do so in 2026, and I think that might be the route they go. But they have the space, and I think that's when they'll try to compete. So whatever way they do it, you know, I think the front office has done a good job in trying to rebuild the culture. So we'll see how they do.
Yeah, let's not forget, too, that they will have some young players, you know, in the future that they're going to probably want to pay as well. But you're so right. Like, you know, Durant was a total pipe dream. They should have never gotten rid of Trevor Ariza in advance of that. That was a big, devastating blow. John Wall was on with me a couple of weeks ago and said that was a terrible move. He went to Ernie and others and said, Kevin Durant's never going to sign here. Hell, Al Horford didn't even pick here, even though it was close. With the Celtics. And I'm wondering, you know, you cover this team. You've got a podcast dedicated to this team. Why do you think a city like Washington, which at its core, and I know this, I'm from here and have lived here a long time, is a basketball town at the youth level, high school level, two powerhouse over the years, national championship college programs. Why don't NBA players view Washington favorably?
I mean, you seem like they do those like front office surveys and player surveys, and a lot of the players vote Washington as one of the least, you know, coveted destinations, as one of the perennial worst franchises in the league. And I think it's all those years of mediocrity. And yeah, you almost made the conference finals with Wall and Beal, but you weren't actually a contender. You know, you were never going to get past the Cavs. You were never going to beat the Warriors. So I don't know when the last time is that you entered a season, if you're the Wizards, and you said, you know what, this is a legit title contending team. And you know, while they've had good talent, they really haven't been able to capitalize on it to the extent of making conference finals and finals. I mean, they haven't made a conference final since they won in 78. It's one of the longest droughts in the league. So I think a lot of players just kind of view Washington as a bottom-of-the-barrel destination. All the years of mediocrity when you were paying Beal $50 million to be your number one option, I don't think that certainly helps your case. And I think they're trying their best to rebuild it. They're trying their best to kind of come out of it with all of this young talent, all this cap space, and kind of put it together. But the issue with that isn't the fact that you have roster spots and cap you know, available. It's the ability to attract those free agents. And like you mentioned, without Horford, with KD, they seemingly have... Even when they have John Wall, Bradley Beal, these young up-and-coming players, that didn't really do the trick. So I don't know if Sarr, Koulibaly, whoever they draft this year, Bob Carrington, like, I don't know if that's the most attractive destination for a guy when maybe, you know, teams out in L.A., Houston's obviously up-and-coming, OKC, like, those are the teams you're going to have to compete against, and it just doesn't seem like Washington has gotten to that point where one of those top free agents wants to come to D.C., but I think, you know, they'll have to prove that with their development and with how the young guys play, that this is a good destination. We've rebuilt the culture, we have a really good collection of talent, and if you come here as a big free agent, you could compete for a championship. They have that number one option still open. They still need a number one guy. So, you know, be the guy, that's possible. They just got to be able to buy into to what DC could be, because they clearly haven't seen that in years.
Yeah. 46 years, in fact.
Yeah.
We're talking to Greg Finberg from Bullets Forever. So before we get to tonight, do you think any of the young players that they've drafted over the last 2 years has all NBA, even second or third team potential in 3 to 4 years from now?
It's a great question. I'd argue Bob Carrington. It's hard for a lot of the guys like Keyshawn George, Alex Starr, Bilal Coulibaly. They kind of make their mark on the defensive end, and you know, in an ideal world, they're capable 3-point shooters, and you know, they can maybe create for others down the line, but they're never going to be your 20 plus point per game scorers. Whereas Bob Carrington, I think with obviously the trade of Jordan Poole, he's going to step into that lead guard role. He averaged 17.7 assists down the stretch last year as a lead guard. He's someone that I think could be a 20 plus point per game scorer, and if the Wizards are good enough, somebody that could be, you know, an all NBA second or third team selection. In terms of the other guys like Sarr, Coulibaly, George, I think they're going to be good on defense, and there's possible all defensive teams in their future. It's just the lack of shot creation for all of them. The 3-point shot for all of them still needs to get more consistent. And I don't view them as the type all NBA players that maybe Bob Carrington could be. And again, if they draft a guy like Ace Bailey or Trey Johnson, someone that can go get a bucket, that could also be someone that I view as a possible All-NBA guy. But I think if Bob is going to be that lead guard, he's shown the ability to knock down the mid-range. He was 50% from 15 to 19 feet last year. Learning behind guys like McCollum and Middleton for the next year, learning behind a guy like Smart defensively, I think that's the one guy you could look at and say, you know what, I think in a couple years, maybe second or third team All-NBA.
If he didn't make that buzzer beater in the season finale, they'd be picking fifth tonight, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they would have had a tiebreaker, so it would have been a coin flip between them and Utah. So, like, they very well could have lost it and been picking sixth, and they could have won it and been picking fifth, which would have been great. But yeah, they weren't solidified or guaranteed the fifth pick. It would have been coin flip.
Do you think Sarr can be a stretch four, big stretch four?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I think so. I mean, 32% from three isn't the greatest mark, but when you consider
the stroke was a good stroke, though, didn't you think?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he shot about 11% in summer league. It was like 15% through the first month of the season, but then you see it slowly building. And on about 40 to 50 attempts in, I believe, December, he was shooting 46% from three. So, you know, the shot is there. It's a good stroke. He seems like a guy that's going to put in the work. It's just, you know, he started the season so poorly that percentage isn't going to reflect well. I think the ability to play the four and the five is something I liked when Sarr was coming out. A lot of people mainly view him as a four in an ideal world, and it depends if you get a good center next to him. I mean, you see in OKC, you got Chet that can stretch the floor, and you have Hartenstein that can kind of play as your screen and roll defensive anchor type center with Chet kind of roaming. I think that's a good role for Alex Sarr if you can get someone next to him where he can kind of roam and be a rim protector on defense while also being able to stretch the floor on offense. a lot of those two big lineups feature the same thing. You look at Cleveland with Mobley and Allen. Mobley has shown the ability to knock down the three, and he's kind of that, you know, shot blocking rim protector. And then you got Jared Allen, who can also protect the rim and is a little bit more of a screen and roll defensive anchor type guy. So I think if you were going to have Sarr as a stretch four, you would need to have a pretty solid center that I think could play alongside him, and I think that would unlock him. Versus if you have Sarr at the five, I think it does stretch the floor and gives you a lot more spacing if you're the Wizards. It's just a matter of, you know, he got bullied down low by guys like Jokic, and everyone does, but, you know, Jokic is just so much stronger in terms of his base and can kind of bully Sarr. He got bullied on the glass a lot, you know, whereas I think if he's playing the four and he's guarding fours, he'd have a much easier time. It's just a matter of finding that fit that can go alongside him in the front court.
All right, we'll get to the draft in a moment, but I just was curious. Do you think C.J. McCollum could end up being a guy that, you know, averages, let's just say, 22, 23 a game and becomes, even at 33, 34 years old, whatever he is, could become an interesting trade chip at the deadline next year or not?
Certainly. I mean, the $30 million price tag, it's an expiring deal, which helps the Wizards, but the $30 million is tough. It's a similar boat, you know, as Middleton. Both are solid scorers and good players that have battled injuries, but it's the price tag that might do it for some teams. I mean, you know, look no further than the Pelicans last year. They were terrible, and for most of the season, they were in, you know, full tank mode. And McCollum played a lot. If you watch when the Wizards played him, he dropped 50 on the Wizards in New Orleans on 10 threes. Like, he's still got games. He averaged 21 points
He's been a guy that could score since the moment he came into the league.
Certainly. If you're looking at the Wizards, they're probably going to be bad. Like I said, they have a top 8 protected pick next year. If they have a bottom 4 record, they guarantee that they keep that pick no matter what. So again, if they decide to bottom out, they're going to be bad just like the Pelicans were. CJ's going to get a lot of attempts. He'll probably start. And he averaged 21 points on the Pelicans last year. He had a couple really good games for them. He was kind of their go-to guy down the stretch, so I don't know why I would expect a different role, I guess, on a similar team in a similar situation like the Wizards. I think we started to. He'll play alongside Bub. And you have a good mix of veterans and youth. And I think the Wizards will, you know, possibly be better than they were last year, but I think it'll benefit the young guys greatly from playing alongside someone like CJ or someone like Middleton. So I think he'll certainly get his buckets. Like you said, he's always been a scorer. It's just, you know, number one, staying healthy. And then number two, can you find a suitor where the contracts work and they're willing to take back $30 million expiring salary if they're willing to contend.
All right. What do you want to see happen tonight? What are you hoping for at 6 and then at 18? You can include trades.
Awesome. It gives me some freedom. You know, I've been offering, for the most part, when I've been asked this, an ideal situation, like you said, and then my more realistic. I think it's pretty safe to say that Flagg and Harper will go 1-2. It's looking a lot like VJ Edgecombe goes 3 to Philly. And then it seems like Kant Knipple is kind of the guy that Charlotte's circling in on at 4. And so if that's the case and the top 4 goes like that, I'm sat at 6, I'm the Wizards. I think what we could see realistically is Brooklyn just acquired the 22nd pick. They have 8, 19, 22, 26, and 27 in this year's draft. So they have all the ammo to be able to move up, as they've been rumored to want to do, to jump Washington, to either select Fears, who they're apparently high on, or Ace Bailey, who they're also very high on, two guys that I think the Wizards probably have at the top of their board as well. The only thing is, you know, you saw this with Bilal Coulibaly a couple years ago, where, you know, the Wizards had to trade up one spot to get him because Utah offered, you know, a decent package to move up with Indiana. And Utah was back in the back end of the lottery, and it was only a one spot drop. So I think it might be a bidding war between the Wizards and a team like the Nets moving up. And the Wizards, you know, best asset is that Utah would only have to move back one spot. If they don't want Bailey, they know the Wizards are going to take him. They can still move back to 6, take a guy like Fears that they really like, and get a couple second-round picks plus 6. Like, that's a good trade. So I think maybe you'll see a bidding war there between them and Brooklyn. But I think if they're sat at 6 and Trey Johnson and Ace Bailey are there, that would be my top two guys. And I'm pretty indifferent on who the Wizards select. Both have really good upside. Johnson's probably a little more polished now, but Bailey's probably a higher ceiling. But I think if it gets to that point, you can draft either of them if you're the Wizards, then great. And you got Fears there, too, that I've heard the Wizards really like. Trading Jordan Poole, you now have an open spot at the lead guard. You can play up alongside Bub, and that's also a good thing. So I wouldn't be opposed to the Wizards maybe giving up a small haul to outbid the Nets and jump up to get Bailey. But I think in an ideal world, you sit there at 6, Ace Bailey falls in your lap, and you take a guy that most would probably have as number 3 on their board at 6 without having to give up any assets. And you know, as Wizards fans were about falling in the lottery, you still get the guy you would have gotten at three. So that deal, in terms of 18, there's a bunch of good talent that'll be available. And I think Wildauk has been pretty aggressive in recent drafts, so a trade-up would certainly make sense. And from what I've heard, it's probably likely if they find the right team. You know, certainly the Spurs at 14 and the Thunder at 15, those are two teams that are looking to contend certainly next year with the Spurs as well. It's possible that the Wizards offer 18, plus maybe, you know, an extra first that they have from the Philly trade with Reggie Jackson. They have first-round picks from the Jordan Poole, Chris Paul trade from the Warriors, and from the Denny Avdia trade with Portland. So they have 14 second-round picks as well. They have a bunch of ammo, you know, themselves. So they can certainly make a move to trade up. If a team like that wants Kispert or Smart and they can make the money work, great. But I would certainly expect a trade-up possibility. You know, if Derek Queen, the local kid, falls to 14 or 15 like he's been expected, Yegor Demon from BYU falls, Noah Senge from France, those are some guys that I think they'd be willing to trade up for if they fall to that range. And if you can't find a move, you got Asa New out of Georgia, Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown, Rashear Fleming out of St. Joe's. Those are more like forward bigs that can stretch the floor. Not as much Newell, but Danny Wolf certainly could probably be a point forward in the league. There's going to be some talent there at 18, but I would definitely expect them to at least explore a trade up, given how many extra assets they have.
All right, so we'll finish with this. You've given your preference, what you'd like to see it happen at 6. You've given the possibilities at 18. What would be your dream scenario with 18, whether it's a trade-up for Queen or somebody like that, or Yegor Emin, or sticking at 18 and picking somebody? What do you hope happens?
In an ideal world, you know, Derek Queen being there, I've seen a lot of stuff that there was mixed reviews about his combine. Now, I'm sure there'll be one team within that range that says, you know what, I don't know if I like some of the stuff, but he definitely has the talent, and if he's fallen too far, I'll take him. But he's a guy that's 9 on my board, and I really buy the offensive upside, the ability to possibly be, you know, a creator, an offensive hub, as we've seen the likes of Jokic do in the league, where you can kind of sit him on the block, pass him the ball, cut off of the action, and you know and trust that he's going to find the right spot, find the right open player, get a shot for himself or his teammates. That's kind of what I'm looking at with Queen. I think he would actually be a great complement to Sar down low, kind of what Sar can't do, Queen can do, and vice versa, in terms of Sar, you know, helping out with defense, but then Queen gives a little bit more on offense. So I think that'd be a pretty good marriage in the front court. And if the Wizards get him at 18, that's certainly incredible value. So in an ideal scenario, I would say Derek Queen falls, and the Wizards don't have to give up any assets. They get, you know, an Ace Bailey at 6 or a Trey Johnson at 6, and they come away with Derek Queen too. You know, in my world, that's ideal because that's two top 10 players with 6 and 18. But I like the value there if Queen were to fall, certainly.
One last one, I lied. Do you think Yegor Demon's going to play point guard in the NBA?
Yeah, and that's a good question. That's why I didn't have him in my dream scenario. I have a lottery grade on him. Like, I think he's going to be a very good player, but, you know, the Wizards have Bob Carrington. It's pretty clear they're confident in him. They just traded Poole to go open up minutes for him at the lead guard position. The Danny Avdia trade was obviously in large part to get him. So they've invested a lot of Bob Carrington already. He had a great rookie season. So I don't know, you know, if drafting Demon would be best. It seems like he's a guy that you need to kind of put the ball in his hands to really see him thrive, especially, you know, if you do draft a guy like Fears at 6, then you kind of got, you know, a lot of guys that need the ball in their hands. So obviously if they go a different direction at 6 and with maybe Ace Bailey, and you're looking at, okay, we can maybe draft a Demon, play him alongside Bob, and you got a pretty big front court, then sure. But I just don't foresee, you know, Demon being able to have that type of role in Washington, especially with all the young players and talent and minutes to go around. So
he might be the best passer in the draft, honestly. Could be.
Yeah,
Greg, great job. Really appreciate it. Greg Finberg, at Greg Finberg on X on Twitter. He's got a podcast called The Wizards Podcast. Great job. Enjoy tonight. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on, Kevin. You have a good one.
Yep. What James Wood was allowed to do last night when we come back. Scott Abraham at noon with some news on RFK.
All right, the NBA draft is set to get underway tonight at 8 p.m. on ABC and ESPN. The Wizards have the 6th pick and the 18th pick tonight, And options tonight at guard include Jeremiah Fears, Trey Johnson, and VJ Edgecombe. Forwards, Ace Bailey and Con Knipple. And center, Kamon Malawach from Duke. The draft, again, gets underway tonight at 8. Keep it locked here on the Team 980 for our NBA Draft Show with Linnell Willingham at 7:30. The Reds pitcher Chase Burns made his much-anticipated debut last night. The Reds' second overall pick in the 2024 MLB draft struck out the first five batters he faced, and he becomes the fifth first-round pick in last year's draft to reach the major leagues. The Nats, they fall to the Padres by a score of 4-3. The San Diego native Trevor Williams drops to 3-9 on the season after giving up seven hits and four earned runs. C.J. Abrams and Jacob Young, the only players with multiple hits. The Nats will close out their series with the Padres today at 4:15. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 3:45. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.